On November 20th, a week from today, groups across the country will remember those who died in acts of anti-transgender violence. The Transgender Day of Remembrance follows Transgender Awareness Week. Now, the State Health Department recently released a report on transgender issues, the first of its kind. Lance Ching gives a snapshot of our transgender community.
Well, in the state of Hawaii, the findings from our report were very profound. What we learned is something that is not surprising, quite actually. For example, there are many health indicators for which our transgender youth are doing poor compared to many of their peers. And unfortunately, this touches many different aspects, including mental health, also substance use and violence. For example, in 2017, what we learned is that many of our transgender youth said that they were experiencing sexual dating violence. One in four also said that they were physically forced into having sexual intercourse. And another 40% also said that they were bullied, either on school campus or also electronically. And so many of these types of stressors, which can be prevalent and chronic, can have a profound and enduring effect that can last well into adulthood. And in fact, when we looked at 2017, half of our transgender youth said that they were sad or depressed. And unfortunately, without interventions, we also learned that half of our transgender youth attempted suicide in 2017.
I mean, that's pretty scary.
It's very scary. And it really harks back to the fact that we really need to act on these data. And so it's not so much important to just do the surveillance, but we really need to develop programs to be able to address the health needs of our transgender community.
So this was really the first report that was compiled on this issue?
Yes, that is exactly true. This is the very first report of its kind in the state of Hawaii that addresses the health needs of our transgender community. What's interesting is that the creation of this report was really mobilized and motivated by our community. And so it was created in solidarity with our transgender community and with the support of more than 25 different community partners and multiple programs across the Department of Health.
And so what about funding? Is this report going to, you know, go forward, be an annual thing?
That's a great question. This year, the funding was provided through the Chronic Disease Prevention and Health Promotion Division at the Department of Health. But one of the important things that came out of this whole adventure was that the Department of Health convened a work group with community partners. And so it's a work group that consists of 25 different external partners. And the goal initially was to produce this report. But we also understand that there is a lot more work that needs to be done. And so in November, we are actually reconvening the group to partly share in some of the successes of the past year, but also to roll up our sleeves and to think about ways in which we can sustain this effort and learn of new ways in which we can build upon each other's efforts and our resources.
Nationally, there's an observance of transgender issues, right? Explain that.
Exactly. So the second week of November is Transgender Awareness Week, and this is followed by National Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th. And so at the University of Hawaii, the Hawaii Health and Harm Reduction Center is sponsoring an event in observance of this day on November 20th. And so the public is free to join them. And it's going to be at the Kamakaua Kalani Center for Hawaiian Studies at the University of Hawaii at Manoa from 5:30 to 8 o'clock p.m. And the purpose of this day and the evening is really set aside to honor and to remember those from our transgender community who were lost to violence. And so it's free and open to the public.
And is there something symbolic about being up there at the School of Hawaiian Knowledge? You know, because culturally, I think there's just more of an acceptance in Pacific Island cultures.
That is definitely the case. I would definitely say that in terms of being transgendered, one's gender is in itself culturally informed. There are many cultures across the world, including the Native Hawaiians, that recognize a third gender or some other gender. So, for example, for Native Hawaiian culture, we have the Mahu Wahine and the Mahu Kane. India, for example, has theirs. There are several other Polynesian cultures that also have a third gender, and also the Native American culture as well.
The idea then behind this study is to draw attention to some of the needs of this group. Do you have a handle on how many make up this community?
That's a great question. So currently, based upon our surveillance among high school students in our public school system, we estimate that about 3%, so roughly 1,200 public high school students, self-identify as transgender. However, Hawaii actually has one of the largest populations of people per capita who identify as transgender. We estimate roughly around 8,500 people statewide recognize themselves as transgender.
And you mentioned bullying, and I know that's a big issue right now in our schools. They're wrestling with that. You know, I don't know what this report does as far as offer ideas and what might be best practices to deal with this?
Yes, the report actually provides a lot of national recommendations. For example, one national recommendation for bullying and harassment is to have more comprehensive health and sexual education. Studies have shown, for example, that students who are exposed to health and sexual education that is inclusive of sexual and gender minorities are less likely to bully other students and not just transgender people. We know that nationally there are about four states as well as the District of Columbia that have explicit laws requiring comprehensive health and sexual education. In Hawaii, we don't prohibit, but we also don't enforce or have an inclusion of this type in our laws. We first started presenting the findings from the report, and we've already shared it with numerous policymakers and community stakeholders. The findings were first shared at the Hawaii Health Association's inaugural conference, and this was their healthcare conference. And since then, it's led to other requests for presentations. And so we've presented some of our findings to the University of Hawaii, various community organizations, and also a legislative task force that is really focused on producing mental health services for LGBTQ. What I basically also want to say is that, you know, reports such as these are profound, and they're quite eye-opening for sure, and they have value from a public health perspective, undoubtedly. But they also serve a much greater purpose, and that purpose is to give visibility to a community. So if you don't ask the questions and you don't collect the data, you are in effect saying that this population and many of the health issues and inequities that they're experiencing and facing day in and day out don't exist or don't matter. And so this report is a reminder to people everywhere that transgender people exist and that they are very much a part of Hawaii's fabric.
So acknowledge, give a voice.
Right.
Don't silence.
Exactly. And if I may add, the story of Hawaii's transgender community is not just one of doom and gloom. There are actually numerous stories of strength and resiliency that you can find in our report. For example, there is Bianca Tanaka, who was harassed throughout her life and through her struggles, remarkably became empowered and wants to now serve as a positive influence for her community on Kauai Island.
And there are other role models in the community.
There are, and we have several of those stories. And, you know, these might not be high-profile transgender members of our community. These are regular folks who you might find at the grocery store in our schools. And they're there ready to provide and link youth with resources. And there are many resources within our community. There's programs like Ahamahu and the Kua'ana Project. And there are Gay Straight Alliances. And many people ready to build resiliency in our youth.
Right. And I'm just thinking, I think with the film festival, there is the film on Hina as an educator and the outreach that she's done.
Right. And Hina was actually, I would love to say, she was a major contributor to this report as well. And she provided a lot of community insight of how to make it better. We initially approached Hina with just a lot of data. And she came back to us and she said, you know what, this data is great, but you really need to balance it with that strength, that stories, those stories that are coming from the community. And so we went back to the community and we gathered those stories. And now we have, I think, a much better report as a result of it. And it's one of my favorite sections now of the entire report.
That was chronic disease epidemiologist Lance Ching talking about the transgender report issued by the State Health Department. Here in Hawaii, the Transgender Day of Remembrance takes place November 20th.